Lord be with you. May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplace, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury, and he observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth. But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. To pronounce oneself as a Christian is to claim to be a follower of Jesus, the Christ. And we in our Western society, living over 2,000 years now, later, we're not called to live as Jesus of Nazareth lived in his time or his culture, or with his limited technological and scientific knowledge. We're not supposed to do that, but we are called to live by the values which dictated his way of living and relating to people, in which he preached as the good news, which would set people free. If you read the Gospels, you will see that Jesus was no yes man. He was not a pillar of society. Far from it. In the eyes of the religious leaders of the time, he was a heretic, and a dangerous heretic at that. So much so that, you know, they colluded with the Romans to have him crucified. He broke both religious laws and social customs. His message was so contrary to that which was generally accepted in that society, that we have to admit today that 2,000 years later, there have been very few Christians who have taken his message to heart in such a way that they have stood out from society as a challenge to our settled way of living. I don't forget who it was that said, I don't know if it was Gandhi who said, you know, Christianity hasn't failed, it's just that Christianity's never been tried. Christians will always be among the minority in the world. Today forming, I don't know, a little over 6% of the world's population. I forget how much there are in the world now. There's over 8 billion people in the planet right now. But tomorrow's Christian will no longer regard the reason for being a Christian as that of saving their souls. That's not what Christianity will be about. But rather, being a Christian means being a witness to others of higher values which should dictate our lives. That we are co-creators with God to care for all of creation, and to value the sacredness of every human being and of all living things. In If we ought to be people who challenge society with these higher values, these Christian values, it means that in the first place, we ourselves must be prepared to be challenged. Jesus really didn't come with comforting words, at least not as we usually understand the word comfort. From its Latin roots, it means to comfort with strength. And Jesus said he came to bring the sword, that his followers would cause divisions even within their own families. Not much comfort there. But Jesus certainly challenges the way that we live and our values, and the values that we have in this country. And as his followers, his voice in the world, we Christians are called to challenge institutional injustice, as Jesus did, as much in the realm of religion as in society at large. For instance, the right wing of the church, the Catholic Church, which is the wealthiest contingency, is obsessed with sexuality issues, it seems like, over the years, while ignoring what Jesus said about the dangers of riches. I think if Jesus was alive today, he'd be more concerned with what went on in the boardroom or at bishops' conferences than he would in the bedroom. Jesus hardly spoke about human sexuality, but he had a great deal to say about injustices of the system and how the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. He was in line with the great prophets of Israel who challenged their people with substituting religious ritual and purity for the concerns of God, which were more about justice to the poor than about a collection of religious offerings. I mean, that's what's happening in today's gospel. This poor widow is divested herself of all support. Now she has nothing. Not a good place to be. And those who were supposed to protect her leave her literally penniless. And what's most frightening about this, if you see this and read it for what it is, it's frightening is that she cooperates with the exploitation. This is the condition that's often mentioned in literature today on oppression and how it happens to people, to countries. The exploited are so thoroughly co-opted that they do not see what's really happening to them. And they unconsciously contribute to it. The mistake is very common. So the challenge, to challenge society or our government on social justice issues is to invite unpopularity. We put ourselves at the margins, perhaps. And our greatest fear is to be disapproved of. I mean, I think that's what caused so many rape victims to be silent for so long. I mean, we work hard to become acceptable. And we want to be accepted. But we cannot give up our values so that somebody would accept us. We can only take the risk of challenging society if we feel secure within ourselves, if we feel centered and grounded. And I think one of the most powerful ways of gaining this inner strength is through daily practices of meditation, of contemplation, of sitting quietly with God and let God do the talking. And when we're faced with challenging moral decisions where there's no clear-cut answer, a quick rule of thumb, I think, is to ask yourself, will this action be life-enhancing, or will it be life-draining? Will this action make me and others more loving or less loving? And I think you can apply that to the actions of on the part of those who represent us. If we're simply freewheeling, laissez-faire Catholics and Christians, we can so easily fall into the trap of colluding with the system of which we are a part, and which oftentimes oppresses others, be it religious or political. We collude by doing nothing and saying nothing. For there to be any change in these systems, and mostly patriarchal systems, they have to be challenged, called to accountability and responsibility in the church as well as society. When you were all baptized, you were baptized into Christ's prophetic ministry as well as his priestly ministry. So we need to speak up, because he has no voice but yours.